follow the messages on screen, the written audio of the navigation becomes available. This station will now see you on the
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast. Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast, the only place for prepping, survival, and entertainment. We are your hosts, Cam and Kobe, and we are ready to bring survival goodness direct to your ear holes.
Yeah, boy.
Yes, sir. What's going on, Cameron?
Not much. We just had a nice technical difficulty for 8 hours.
Yeah, it took about 45 minutes for us to get this going because we had some issues. But we're here and we're ready. And now we're going to bring you the goods.
The essentials.
That was like a question.
The goods? Goods?
Yeah, what are we talking about today?
Well, we're going back to the basics.
We are.
We're going to talk about the essentials of prepping. We always refer back like almost every episode to, well, you already have your food and your water. It's time to talk about them.
Absolutely.
Time to talk about them.
What else are we doing?
We've got a bunch of reviews, actually. Well, not as heavy as some of the other ones.
Yeah,
that we've had.
But we do have some reviews.
We have some cool stuff. So we've got reviews, got your medical tip, Mad World.
Yeah.
That's it.
First, guys, today's podcast is brought to you by TacPack, as always. The only monthly tactical subscription box with useful professional grade stuff inside. Get 10% off your first TacPack with code CASUALPREPPERS at www.tacpack.com and join the thousands of satisfied subscribers today. That's 10% off with code CASUALPREPPERS at tacpack.com. And I've been hearing from lots of you satisfied TacPack subscribers. And we thank you for going and visiting our sponsors.
Yeah.
Because you're all cool.
We're going to tell you what this month's box has in store.
We are. We're so nice, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay, guys, before we move on, the Kindle book is ready for pre-order.
Oh, no.
I really hope so. We're doing this Monday. This will release Thursday, and by Thursday it should be ready for pre-order. Seriously.
Get your hot ink. Get your book with hot ink.
Oh, hot ink, yeah. Your digital hot ink.
You smearing it because it's just fresh off the printer.
So go to Amazon. We'll have it all over our social media and our website. The Casual Prepper's Beginner's Guide to the Apocalypse.
Yeah. It's going to be a good one.
We're so excited, and you guys are going to love it. You're going to absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's got a personality all over it.
Is that what it has all over it?
I don't know what it has all over it.
Listener, reviews starts now.
Cameron.
Yeah.
You want to read this for us?
Didn't I read the last one?
I don't care. Just do it.
Fine. So this listener review is from
Facebook.
Jesse Garland.
On Facebook.
On Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm just going to get into it.
Just get into
Ready?
It. Get into it.
After getting tired of listening to music while I slave away at the old job, I decided to check these podcasts I keep hearing about. I listened to the big names like Joe Rogan and Mark Maron and wasn't impressed. I needed to be entertained and educated. I thought, prepping sounds like it could be a cool topic, and I found the Casual Preppers podcast. I'm casual. I listened to the first episode and was both entertained and educated. Now I'm hooked. I find myself saying things like dang. And but do we have enough toilet paper? I say things like, the only thing that would make this better is countermeasures. Which is very true.
He knows us so well.
So if you aren't an over-the-top prepper nutcase and want to learn some casual prepping tips, this is the podcast for you.
Thank you.
Amen, Jesse.
Amen, brother. Yeah, so if you guys want to be on this, please go to iTunes. Please go to Facebook. Leave us a 5-star review and make it awesome.
Yes.
Social media shout-out.
Well, sir, we're going to talk about some social media right now.
Sound like you're going to start an auction. Oh, well, sir, we're going to start off with that old surf and skate.
I want to go over there with the Instagram. I want to go over there with the Facebook. yeah, this one is from Instagram. At surf_skate.
Surf and skate. Yeah.
She is always on our Instagram, always posting cool pictures, always
right on.
Yeah, doing really cool stuff. So we're just giving them a shout out right now.
So check
I sounded
her out.
Like I was drunk there for a second. Shout out on Instagram.
Go on.
Yeah, go on.
You're
It's a mad, mad world.
You're going to cut me right off. That's what you're going
to
do.
I love doing it. It's like my favorite thing. I know. Literally one of my favorite things to do is cut
you
off.
I'm sure the listeners love it. They're like, good.
Yeah. So, mad, mad world, Cameron.
Yeah.
What you got?
I'm going to talk about North Korea.
Bring the heat, brother.
Well, they've been shooting off some missiles at their native Japan.
What?
Their neighbors, Japan.
Oh, yeah.
They're just psychopaths, man. Just
North Korea?
Just freaking nuts.
Yeah.
And they just, they're, you know, they broke the regulations of UN or whatever, and they've been shooting off these missiles to see how far they'll go. And, you know, they're getting closer and closer to being able to reach the U.S.
That would be a bad day.
That would be.
Son.
And they just want to do that. They just want to show. I mean, I don't even... Anyway,
I did. You know,
it's
what,
freaking mad, mad world.
We did talk about this a little bit in the book. I went over Kim Jong Un a little bit in the EMP section, and they're just crazy, man.
They are a little fat turd.
Yeah, a little fat. We're gonna call him Fat Turd from now on.
Fat Turd Un Jong Un. Yeah. Fat Turd Un.
Fat Turd Un. Okay, so mine. You know, I was looking over some news articles and stuff this week, and I noticed how many deaths from house fires I was seeing. Like a ton, like a whole bunch. It's one of those things sometimes we don't think about, but as preppers, we need to prep for everything, right? Yeah. We need to be ready for everything. So that's kind of, so over the past 2 days, over 20 people have been killed in the U.S. with house fires. So on average, 7 people die a day for house fires. That's bad. That's bad news, man. So check your smoke alarms, have an evacuation plan with you and your family, and be careful.
Nice. You know, that's simple stuff. I actually replaced 3 smoke detectors this last week. Yeah.
I've got like 4 of them that have no batteries because I got so
sick
when
they
of
start
them.
Beeping, you know, you just want to rip the battery out.
And it's always 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And I'm always pissed off.
I know. So it is. That's exactly what happened. One of them started chirping and it was like the signal for service and I pulled it off. I'm like, oh, 2011?
Yeah.
No, it was. Yeah, it was.
Oh, that's when it was expired?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And these were the carbon monoxide and smoke, so I was like, I gotta at least replace those.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to slip into a coma and die overnight.
Bad deal. So anyways, yeah, this is something I was thinking about. The world is mad. Your house might catch on fire.
Keep your house safe.
Be careful.
From the common elements.
So, to today, guys, we're talking about...
to today.
What is this, episode 24? I don't even know if we even said that, did we?
No, this is episode 24.
Episode 24, Prepper Essentials. Yeah. And what we mean by that is... It's something that we come back to almost every single episode that we're always talking about. We're always talking about
your life-sustaining essentials.
Because if you want to be a prepper, you've got to have food and you got to have water.
Yeah.
And
if you don't have those?
If you don't have those, you're going to die.
Yeah. There's no use in... All of your stuff is useless.
Yeah. You can have so much cool gear. You can have
all my bullets.
Solar-powered USB bullet thrower and anything. It doesn't matter. It's you got to eat and you got to drink, right? Yeah. So that's what we're talking about today. Eating and drinking. So we're going to start with water because that's obviously your most important thing. You can only go like 3 days without it before you keel over and die. So that's what we're going to talk about. First off, we're going to talk about how much you need. How much do you need, Cameron? Do you know?
You're going to tell us.
I am. So this is kind of crazy. So the average American uses over 69 gallons of water a day indoors. 69 gallons, you know, that's with your...
That's incredible.
You're washing and you're drinking and you're cooking and you're cleaning, everything.
Oh, wow.
69 gallons. So that's normally what you do. Obviously, it's really hard to store that much water, you know, for 3 days. How much water would that be? It'd be insane for a family, right? So FEMA, what they recommend is storing a minimum of 1 gallon per person per day. But really, you know, in some sort of a disaster situation, I feel like that's not going to be enough.
So the 1 gallon is including all the reasons
that's
for
everything.
Using your water?
Exactly.
Damn, 1 gallon isn't very much.
It's not.
Don't you flush the toilet twice and it's a gallon?
Yeah, but obviously you're not going to use that to flush the toilet.
That's it. I mean, that's how much we piss away, literally.
Yeah. So with... Now I'm just thinking about you
pissing
prepping
away?
All your water and then just pouring it in there to flush the toilet. That's what I'm thinking about.
Half your 5 gallon jug to
Don't do that, guys. Just don't. So you're gonna need
just
more than
pile
that.
Up the turd in there.
Yeah. So you know half of that what they say is half is for drinking, half is for sanitation, washing, brushing your teeth, all that kind of stuff. So it's something to think about. But I think you're gonna want at least double that. I would think.
If you want to, if you want to live comfortably,
yeah.
In your basement.
You can make it, you can make it through, but
yeah,
I you know you're gonna need more. So so if you were gonna get a 2 week supply for one person, you know, so that's 14. You know, how much is that? It's a gallon. You know, 14 gallons, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So that's equivalent to 150 of those little 12-ounce bottles.
Wow.
So those people that are like, oh, I got like six cases of those. Yeah, I ain't gonna get you that far, really, when you think about it. And you also got to think about, you know, you're probably going to have food that needs to be prepared with that water. And, you know, you got to clean, you got to do a lot of different things. Something that I've been doing, which I think is a really good idea, because your water is going to be, you're going to have to use so much for cleaning and stuff like that. When we get an empty, like, laundry detergent bottle, you know, like the liquid detergent, we fill it up with water and put it down in our preps. Just so that you can just use it for cleaning.
It's a good idea.
And nothing else, you know. So that way you're not using this other water that you've stored for, you know, washing your hands and flushing the toilet and cleaning the toilet and whatever else you're going to do with your water.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's all I got for that section.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I say yeah a lot. And somebody said that we say that way too much. So
let's try not
to. I'm going to really work my hardest to just not say.
My problem is with the ums. Yeah.
Storage containers. So a lot of good it does if you're just storing your water
in what?
Toilets or cardboard boxes.
You and your toilets, man. Get your brain out of the toilet.
So don't waste all of your effort and all of your water storage if you're not storing it properly.
Yeah, it's really important to make sure you store it in the proper container.
Yeah.
And do it properly. Right?
Yeah.
What's that? What was that?
I just said yeah twice.
Oh.
So, avoid these things. I'm struggling, sorry. Milk containers. Shut up. Milk containers of any type. You can't clean out all the protein and crap in there. It's just impossible. So don't even mess with filling up your. I mean, if you really want to do that for like what Kobe's doing, you know, storing it away for washing and stuff, that's probably fine. But don't plan on storing drinking water in a milk container. You also want to avoid the non-food grade plastics. You know, the bottle you filled up your lawnmower, the gas topped it off.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to just wash that out and try and store stuff in there. Or your pesticide bottles. It's a bottle.
Yeah,
don't just use, store stuff in there.
Don't use pesticide
bottles. Yeah, and anything that's been used for anything other than food, don't store in that. Sugary substances, you know, different things that have that you've stored, like apple juice and stuff. We use those, you know, but it's like short-term water. I'm not planning on storing it for like 6 to a year or, you know, 6 months to a year. It's just... I want it there. I mean, you might as well use the containers,
mm-hmm,
but for long term, it's not a good idea. The sugars and stuff are hard to clean out.
Yeah, there's going to get stuff in there that's probably not good. But, you know, if you're going to plan on purifying it in some way afterwards, at least you've got water there. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah, that's what we figured too, is just clean.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well clean them out and store a little for if tomorrow goes south.
You got it.
Then you got some water. So let's start off with some of the main things to store in. You know, plastic's your number one most common and most available and cheapest thing to use. You know, it doesn't break. You know, it's the good ones. So outside of the containers that have those little recycle arrows, you want to find the ones that are marked with a 1, a 2, a 4, or a 5. There are some 7s, but it's easier to just forget it.
What's wrong with 3?
I don't know. It's not in there.
Just not good, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just, you know, what it's made up of.
Right.
So 2 is the very best for storing. A lot of the containers I looked at in my basement, like the Arrowhead and all that, they're 1.
Okay.
But the best ones are marked with a 2. They're high-density polyethylene plastic. Most of the ones that that we all see in the grocery store are the PET ones, the PETE, the number 1, like I was saying.
Right.
And then the LDPE, number 4.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then number 5's polypropylene. So these are all good to store food and water in. So when you go to look for different types of plastic containers, there's tons of options. You've got like bricks that you can stack, which are sweet. I like those.
That's really intrigued me, getting the bricks.
I like those too.
Because they're expensive though.
And they got a little spout. Like they're easier to get water. Because
you can stack them in a big pile and they're easily moved. What are they, like 5 gallons a piece or something like that?
Are.
Is that what
they are? I think there's some bigger ones, but that's the average. So I thought those were pretty sweet too. And then you've got your regular 55-gallon blue barrel. And then you can get huge, just massive ones that are like 220-gallon. Like, I don't even know how the hell you'd fit that in your house.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Like, because the bad thing, we'll get into, like, you put those out in your garage, they're exposed to fluctuations in temperature.
Yeah. You'd have to get it down in your basement somehow.
You'd have to just build your house around it.
I'm gonna
First things first, we'll put 6 of those down there.
Once you get that concrete down, I got to put my water.
Right. All right. And then the next thing would be glass. Glass kind of isn't the best option, which you would think, glass is thick and clear. Looks fantastic. But no, it's susceptible to breaking.
Looks fantastic. What the hell was that?
No, just like mason jars and things like that. Just stuff that you have a lot of.
Yeah.
But glass, can break, and it's, since it is clear and beautiful, it's more susceptible to growth inside because it's algae and stuff can, exposure to light's more serious. Glass can be easily sterilized though, which is a big deal for it. Good job, glass.
Well done, glass.
So just a quick 20-minute boil and you can put it in whatever you want.
So just put the glass in water, boil for 20 minutes, ready to go.
Yeah. If you're a canner, you already know all this.
Yeah. I ain't no canner.
Yeah. So the best glass is trade name Pyrex, which is borosilicate glass. It's one of the best forms of glassware to store food and water in. It's a little bit stronger. It's less susceptible to fluctuations in temperature. Mm. So yeah, there's your glass.
That's
good
fantastic.
Job, glass.
Yeah, well done.
And then one of the best, really long-term storage things is your stainless steel tank.
Yeah.
If you're a dairy farmer,
just for you.
I know. Yeah. Thank you. If you're a dairy farmer, you got this big, massive milk tank that's stainless steel. But I don't know how clean those are with the...
you got milk in there.
I know. But I mean, clean it out. But yeah, those big, huge freaking cisterns that are like stainless steel, those are probably your best long-term storage. Uh-huh. But you still got to look for ones that are graded to store food and stuff like that in them. And they're a lot more expensive.
The stainless steel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And most of the time, you do want ones that are kind of coated with something to help... so it's not just the metal that...
I feel your flow.
Yeah, yeah. So, there's your big mainins. Your big mainins. So, do-it-yourself water, like we were talking about. You can do juice containers for something real short. I mean, you already got them there. If you don't recycle them, we don't have a recycling bin in our town. So, you might as well... I mean, just fill them full of water. It's not going to hurt.
Yeah.
Just plan on recycling.
I heard if there is juice in it, though, there's a really good possibility there's, bacterias and stuff that stay in it that you can't get rid of.
Right.
So, like you said, make sure it's a short-term thing and make sure if you're doing that you're purifying the water or use it for other things.
And don't use those milk jugs.
Yeah, don't.
So, when you store your water, you want to keep it in cool, dark areas and as little sunlight as possible. If, none's the best, but...
Right.
Which, I don't know how much sunlight you're going to get down in your basement.
Well, I don't. That's where you're putting it, is in your basement.
That's the best place. Yeah. I'm just saying, if you get it out in your garage.
Sure.
Keep, never go in your garage, never open the garage door.
Okay.
And keep it just completely out of sight.
Okay.
Another big controversial thing is storing directly on cement.
Oh, it's so controversial.
It is. It's bad.
It's like a hot topic.
Like some people get really, they're like, nope, just don't even worry about it. Just put it down.
Yeah.
I personally, it doesn't take much to put something underneath it.
Yeah, just anything underneath
it. And I was thinking where I store inside my house is in one of those little pockets. Mm-hmm. So it's got cement on the sides and everything.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to...
See, I've actually
I'm a little superstitious. I try and keep it. from touching the cement altogether.
Yeah, I put mine on top of some of my food storage, like my jugs and things of water. So I'll just put them on top of those.
It's easy. I mean, if we don't really know. But, there's no studies
so
out there.
So it didn't go. Why is it that we don't want to put them right on there?
Because they think it bleeds a lot of the chemicals from the cement.
From the cement. Through, leaches them up, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Leach is the good word, yeah.
Sure
is. So it's easy to just protect them, put them on a pallet or a piece of wood, just something to kind of keep. But there's nothing proving that that is actually a bad thing to go directly into cement. If you have no other way, and it's going to...
You're going
to be... Don't let it delay you from putting storage water, you know, stored water in your basement.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the other thing is keep it away from gasoline. If any of you have had the, you know... The wonderful event of having like a watermelon in your, have you ever had like groceries and then like you get a gallon of gas to bring home for your lawnmower and it just, everything tastes like gasoline. Like
fuel. Yeah.
So don't store your water near any of those, you know, pesticides, kerosene, gasoline, things like that. Cause it will transfer through.
Hopefully you're not
through.
Doing that, people. Hopefully.
Plastic's pretty permeable. So
yeah.
Anyway. Good. Oh, yeah. Best temperature. Sorry.
Oh, good.
59 to 86 degrees.
Ooh, right in a sweet spot.
Yeah, that
right
is a sweet spot. I actually, that's higher degrees than I would have
86
expected.
Seems pretty high, but yeah.
If it's 86 in your basement, you got to move.
Yeah. Just move out of that horrible area. Seriously. So I want to talk a little bit about water purification because this, I think it'll be a huge thing in any sort of disaster situation. I mean, you know, like we said, you might just feel like you want to purify the water you save anyways, just in case, right? So, you know, the old trusty tried and true method of boiling is going to be usually the easiest as long as you have a source of fuel to boil stuff, right? So boil water for 15 to 20 minutes. It's going to kill off 99.9% of anything living in the water. So basically, you're good, right? So it also removes most
it's
chemicals.
Like Lysol.
Yeah, what?
Lysol.
Yeah.
99.9.
Yeah, and it vaporizes any chemicals in there, so you should be good no matter what. 15 to 20 minutes, just be safe, like a nice rolling boil.
But what about that 0.1?
Don't worry about it, okay?
What about it?
So the next easiest thing to do is purification tablets, and I have a lot of these. They're really easy. You just throw them in the water. You wait a little bit. You can drink it. The problem is it's going to taste like piss. Like, seriously, it's going to taste like chemicals. And
I actually didn't even think about that.
There are a few that don't taste horrible, but really, it's not going to taste good. You're not going to be like, oh. Nice cool glass of water.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be like, oh, nice cool glass of chlorine. That's, you know what I mean? It's not going to taste good.
Right.
Make sure if you're going to use purification tablets, you want the water above 40 degrees. Right around 65 is a sweet spot. So that's the best for the chemicals to work optimally, right? And just make sure you look at the instructions and follow the instructions on each
65
tablet.
65 is optimal?
Yeah, that's okay. Optimal right there. So, I mean, most people, that's probably where it's going to be around in your basement and stuff, I would guess, you know.
40 is pretty cold.
Yeah, so you want to make sure to wait about 30 minutes before you drink the water. Let the chemicals do their thing before you start drinking. You know, don't just, like, drop in the pill and start drinking.
Or just whatever. Keep it in your on your tongue.
I'm just going to have
it. Just going to pass right past it.
I'm going to keep it right here.
Let me swish it.
Oh, man, that would taste good.
Oh, man. Did you see that one? Remember I dropped that tab in? So speaking of which, most of these survival boxes come with those pretty often.
Battle Box has a few of them that it's come with.
But that one, like, stained the bottom.
Oh,
like,
did it really?
Like, it was, like, dark brown.
What was that? Was
it
an Aqua Tab? What was that one? I don't remember.
I don't remember either. It was a little different.
We got
it wasn't
several
your common.
In the water box. Yeah, we got several of them.
But, yeah, it, like, it stained the crap. It was, like... Those little pills when you dye Easter eggs.
Yeah.
It like did that. Yeah. It like completely stained the
mugs. Yeah, not good.
Moving on.
So your water is going to taste horrible. So, you know, something is nice to do is have some of those drink mixes around. Any sort of like lemonade, fruit punch, any sort of those mixes that can keep. And then you can throw that in your water. So if it's going to taste horrible, at least you can mask that horrible taste.
Really good idea.
With that. Yeah.
You can buy what, like 50 of those little pouches for
cheap. Or you know, even at food storage sites, you can get big, huge bags of those that stay good for like 5 or 10 years, even longer, I think. So that's it's not a bad idea to have a couple
it
of
is,
those around,
especially for your kids.
You're gonna get sick of
your
drinking
kids
water.
Aren't gonna drink water at all.
Yeah, if you have kids, you know what we're talking about.
But most of us are gonna let them die anyway.
Yeah, first
it's gonna be way easier without them.
Exactly.
I'm just kidding.
So, you know, I was looking on Amazon. You can get the AquaTabs brand, and I have some of those, $10. It treats up to like 200 quarts of water. It's a good starting point to have at least some of those somewhere. You can throw some in your bug out bag. You can have some at the house or your bug out location, whatever it is, right? So your next item on purification is your water filter. And this is, I think everybody should have several of these. They're cheap enough and they're easy enough to carry around. Everybody should have several. I have one in my bug out bag. I've got
muchos.
Two or three in my. I went directly into that accent.
Just like
two or three in the brain. Basement.
Mucho. And then like two or three.
I don't know. It just came really easy to me. Let's take it easy, okay? So there's several types of those. There's the pump style, which is kind of nice for a longer term. Have you seen the pump style purifiers?
It has
the hose off of it. Mm-hmm. You put it in your water source, you pump it, and it comes out. You can find those anywhere from like $30 and up. Most of them are around $50 to $100, and they'll usually do about 500 gallons. So it's nice to have one of those at home, because the next tile I'm going to talk about, the personal filters, the ones you have to suck on, those are great for like a bug out bag or something, but if you're going to have to suck out of one of those straws all day long, every day,
yeah,
it's going to get pretty... It's not going to be fun.
I have one of those. I have two of those LifeStraw family ones.
Oh.
You've seen those?
Family.
They're like $70.
What are those? What do they look like?
It's a gravity fed.
Oh, okay. It's a gravity fed style. Oh, yeah. That's. I put one of those. I didn't see that.
It looks like a little wiener pump at the end.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, the gravity fed ones.
47.
You have some of those?
4,700 gallons.
Ooh, that's nice.
I have two of them, yeah.
That's fantastic. I wonder if, does Sawyer... make one of those?
I bet they have to.
Because...
But that's why I bought those, because I'm like, man, yeah. It's almost 5,000 gallons.
So the gravity-fed ones are nice. They're like a big bladder. You hang them up, and then the filter is at the bottom, so it just filters right out.
Yeah.
And it just takes, what, like an hour or something to filter
it
out?
So it's almost like you're going to have a faucet, because you're going to have the little reservoir, mm-hmm. and then when you need, you just fill up a cup.
Not a bad idea to have one of those. As far as the small personal one goes, I'm a huge believer in the Sawyer Mini. That's just what I go with. I mean, I do have a LifeStraw too.
And it's impressive. I didn't know it was that big of a difference in filtration.
So like a LifeStraw does about 260 gallons, which is great. You know, that's really good.
And they're light. And they're like I have one in each of my cars.
Yeah, exactly. It's good to have those. But the Sawyer Mini does 100,000 gallons.
I don't even know how that's possible.
I don't know either, but it's fantastic. And it's $20. It's like the same price as the LifeStraw. So get a Sawyer Mini. I mean, they're for bug out bags and stuff, and for your house, get a Sawyer. 100,000 gallons is going to get you a long ways, right? So that for the that's
those filters are such a... What was the one? We did the Grail, right?
Yeah.
That was cool. Are you going to talk about that?
Sure, yeah.
I just wondered.
I did
that was kind of
there.
A cool one. It like forced it through the filter.
Yeah, so it's almost like a... the Grail is a bottle filter, and the top comes off, and then you put the water in there, and it's almost like a coffee press or one of those things where you push it down.
Yeah.
And then,
hard as hell.
Yeah, you have to really push.
I was like forcing it.
So then the water goes through, and you can drink it right out of the bottle.
That's so weird, too, mentally.
Yeah, it's
like,
hard.
You remember, I was like, I don't think I want to drink this.
I know.
I've like sipped a little bit, and I'm thought I was going to throw
each
up.
Each filter only does about 40 gallons, so you're not going to get a long ways with those, but they're great for, you know, small trips and backpacking and that kind of stuff. Those are nice to have. So you can check out Grail. They're pretty cool. Grayl.
They are cool, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the last thing is, you know, bleach. This is mostly for long-term storage. You know, put some bleach in there. 6 drops per gallon about. That's for just purifying. 6 drops a gallon. Let it sit for 5 to 10 minutes. Then you can drink it. I don't know if I'd want to be drinking it, though. Doesn't that scare you, putting bleach in it and then drinking?
It does.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know, man. So anyways, that's purification for you, Cameron.
That one's pretty cool.
Who makes that? Is that LifeStraw?
Yeah, they're new. Like, that's like the newer version of the one I got. But what's cool is it's in that... it's in that little baggie instead of the big plastic container. So it's a lot smaller.
Cool.
Anyway, is it my turn?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. I'm not even there.
So Cam's going to talk about alternative water sources.
Thank you.
For procrastinators. And this is perfect for him.
Speaking of procrastinators, I was off shopping while we were doing this. So, when things go down and you're haven't prepared... There's a lot of different places you can get water. Don't rely on these, but I'm just saying. We want to let you know.
Yeah.
You can drink out of the back of your toilet.
Yeah. And
if you're doing it now.
We want to stress the back of the toilet.
Yeah.
Don't drink out of the
bury
bowl.
Bury your face into the bowl.
Yeah, just don't do that, guys. Yeah. Okay? Back of the toilet. Back of the toilet.
So, right when disaster happens, if you're lucky and you get info pretty early,
yeah,
shut your water main off.
Yep.
So you want
to do it as quick as possible.
Yep. You don't want to have the scarecrow stuff bleeding into your, you know, the water system.
You don't want that to happen.
But yeah, you got an earthquake, you got ruptured water lines, your water is going to get contaminated like super fast. So just shut the water main off because, first of all, you're preventing that, you know, all that crap from getting into your house. And two, you've got all these pipes that are holding water in them that you can use.
Yeah.
So when I moved into my house, you remember when I pulled off the, when I was redoing the floor, off the running board. It's not the running board.
The baseboard.
Baseboard. I got a truck in my house.
Yeah, you do.
So I pulled it off and it just was like sprayed water. That's right. They run a nail right through my pipe. Yeah. PEX, isn't that what it is? The new tubing.
I don't know.
Anyway, they run a nail right through it. So luckily I found it, but we shut the water main off and it seriously sprayed like
for a long time.
I felt like two bathtubs had spilled on my floor.
Yeah.
And I was surprised at how much water just stays in those pipes. So, you know, gravity fed, if you have a little spigot down in your basement.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, even if worse comes to worse, you can just cut the pipe and,
You
know, but that's a lot of water that just sits in your pipes. So you could do that. A water bob, which I hadn't heard of these. These are actually pretty sweet. It's just this little plastic thing that's, you know, the plastic is... like a, I think it's a good, one or a two.
Food grade plastic.
It is. But they're 100 gallons and you can buy on Amazon. They're like $22 for one or $40 for two of them. Mm-hmm. So you just hurry and fill up your bathtub with this huge, it's like a water bed.
It's like a huge bladder that you put in your bathtub.
Yeah.
And then it fills right up.
So 100 gallons just like that.
Yep. You got it ready
to go. Yeah. Before you shut your water off, you could do that.
Yeah. You want to get that going first.
Those are pretty cool and they're cheap. A water heater. Water heater stores quite a few gallons of water in there. Mm-hmm. That's all good.
Depending on the size of your ditch. If you have the continuous style water heater, that's not going to help you.
Yeah. But
the big tank stuff, it's like 40, 50, 60 gallons. I don't know. I'm guessing.
Right.
Right around there. Right.
I know when you have to carry them out, they weigh an effing ton.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Then you got the back of your toilet. You've got probably a gallon or so in there.
I think there's more than gallons. There's probably at least 3 gallons in there, I think. I don't know. Depending on the toilet.
Yeah. If you got a good toilet, like a bidet, I bet you got quite a bit in there.
Yeah.
Then you can resort to, what's that?
I know you got a bidet.
I wish. I really wish I had one. Rain catchment.
Yeah.
So there's a ton of stuff on this. You know, I'm not going to go into it.
You're not.
But you could set up a system where you can catch, you know, into, you know, a reservoir, like a
barrel big cistern
or something. Yeah. Stainless steel or something like that. But you do need to be careful with where the runoff's coming from. If it's coming off your shingles and stuff like that, you're probably going to get contaminated water.
Yeah.
So just, look that up. We may even do a podcast on that.
At some point in our life.
Yeah. Maybe episode 150 or something.
Look forward to that. Put that on your calendar.
Yeah. So if you have a pool, because you're rich and awesome, then that water, you know, you don't want to drink it, but it can be used for so much.
So much.
The way I said that.
Used so much.
Hold on. Let me just, I don't want to go into this, but you're going to ruin your pool.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I said that really weird.
That was awesome.
I had a rough day.
It's
of
okay.
Not
everything's
working.
Good. Yeah.
The next thing, you know, you've got your freezer ice. Most of us don't clean out a freezer and you got all that ice buildup. You can actually catch all that.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
I don't ever chip mine.
Wait, but that's like the old freezers. My freezer doesn't do that.
Yeah, mine doesn't do that.
But I guess you have
but
the
you've
ice.
Got tons of ice cubes.
Yeah, you get the ice.
So there's a lot you got to think about. There's a lot you got to think about when crap goes down, you know?
Absolutely.
I was thinking you got to shut off your water.
Yeah.
You've got a, I wrote some of it down because I don't remember.
Well, the thing is, that's why I think like an emergency plan is a good
idea. That's what I was leading into. You do need to have that plan set up because there's tons of stuff you got to think of right away and you're not going to remember it. See, I couldn't even tell you past shutting your water off.
And you're not an idiot.
Thank you. That was awesome. Canned goods. There's actually, you know, really nasty water on top of your green beans.
Tuna water.
But you can drink that. It's a little salty and disgusting.
Have you drink some tuna
water? That's the
water.
First things I'm going to. Just drink the water out of that.
I'm so thirsty, damn it. Tuna water.
Can we get the cold? Yeah. Let's get all the juice off those beans. Now, if you're really rich, this blows my mind. This is like Harry Potter stuff. Water generator.
Oh, yeah. It's
cool. Just pulls water out of your atmosphere. It produces like 7 gallons a day.
What are you doing? Pull water out of your atmosphere?
What in the hell kind of machine's that?
Yeah.
So those are cool, but absolutely. I'm sure they're extremely expensive. They were sold out on Amazon.
Oh, they were sold out? Yeah. Seriously?
Couldn't even find them. So people are looking into that magic.
Wow.
The other thing, this is kind of retarded, but not.
We don't say that word here.
Actually, I will use that word again in the medical tip. Yep.
Okay.
Watch for it. Stay tuned. A water spigot.
Yeah.
A key. So, you know, when things, when you're losing water everywhere, you don't have water, you can go and steal water.
Yeah.
From businesses and you know, they've got all those little spigots on the outside. You got to use the multi-key. They're only like $9 on Amazon.
Uh-huh.
Works on stop cocks, steal cocks, whatever, you know. You've got a key for the multiple cocks throughout town.
Key cocks.
That you can just do.
Wait, what's it good for?
Like,
no, what was it?
A spill cock? Uh-huh. A stop cock. I got my cocks all mixed up. Stop cocks, seal cocks, whatever.
Any kind of cocks.
So basically you've got those little keys that open up the water mains on the sides of buildings. Yeah. So
cock keys.
But yeah, $9 and you've got like a four-way key that fits almost all of those throughout town. I'm going to go get one right now.
Are you?
Wash my truck wherever I want.
Fantastic. I like it.
So yeah, there you go. And then the other thing with that is just like Kobe was saying, for you procrastinators, make sure you stock up on filters and purification tabs and things like that.
Absolutely. And so that's water for us, guys. That's all we have. I know there's so much to do on this.
That could be like 5 episodes.
Yeah. Thought we'd kind of, you know, graze the surface a little bit, give you guys a quick rundown of.
There's some really, you know, there's some really good sites that talk about.
There's books too.
There is. Like universities have PDFs. Like I went to a couple of universities and looked at theirs to talk about water storage and preparing water.
FEMA has some really good stuff too.
It's not hard to find. No, just make sure you know it before.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now let's take this time to talk about the 3%er.
I want to take a moment.
The 3%ers are all diehard American patriots who craft pro-gun, patriotic, and American Revolution-related apparel. What are you laughing at, bro? They are extremely passionate about what they do, and everything is made to order in-house. Go to the3percenter.com and get the very best gear for any Second Amendment America-loving patriot. Use our code CASUALPREPPERS for a discount. That's the3percenter.com. And guys, speaking of this, the 3%er will be very soon
making our shirts. Yeah.
So they will be available on our website, on the 3%er's website, within a week of this airing, so very soon.
Right.
Very soon.
So we want them to do them because their shirts are freaking super comfortable.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. So look for that and go see the 3%er and use our code for a discount, and your life will be fantastic.
Right on.
Yep.
I was laughing because I always hear pro-grun.
Did I say that?
You said it before, but I don't think you did this time.
I'm so sorry, man.
Because I was
it's kind of a mouthful.
It is a bad one right
it's
there.
It's hard,
They're right by each other. Mm-hmm. I would butcher it.
You totally would. That's why I don't let you do it.
It's a good idea to not let me do it.
So, moving on from water, the next thing we're going to talk about is food. That's your next item in your prepper essentials. It's food. The first thing you need to figure out is how much food do you freaking need? You don't know, right? Well, actually, we do know because we're going to tell you right now. So most people need anywhere from like 2,000 to 3,000 calories a day, Cam. I know you get like 5,000 or 6,000 calories, but most people only need 2,000 to 3,000.
Dick.
And so obviously this
That bench was a piece of crap, okay?
I don't care.
I did you guys a favor.
You destroyed
I did
that sucker.
When I do things, I go all the way.
You do. That's right. That's what I like.
I go all the way through them, right to the floor.
That's what I like about you. So, you know, this depends on your activity, your size, your metabolism, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, you can kind of figure out how many calories you need. So this roughly equates for like a full size average dude, just under about 1,000 calories a meal. So if you think about that, you need to have 1,000 calories a meal to get yourself through the day at full health.
Easy. It's easy to do right now.
Yeah. But you got to make sure that you have a balanced diet. So that's something you have to think about when you're going into your food preps and you're looking at what you're going to get, right? So FEMA, and I always go back to FEMA because they're the kind of ones that are setting the standard for a lot of this stuff. They recommend 3 days worth of food. That's wholly inadequate. I mean, that's not enough. You got to have more than 3 days. 3 days worth of food. I can find that in my car almost.
Like, I see why they do it because there's nobody that prepares.
Yeah, and you're going to find
why
that
they,
in just a second.
Why they, like, cut it down. Have at least 2 hours of food.
Yeah.
Because I mean, nobody's even doing anything right
now. Have one pack of fruit snacks on hand just in case things go bad. Yeah. Right? So this statistic is ridiculous. 45% of Americans have less than 3 days of food on hand.
That's
bad. That's a bad deal. You know, so don't be one of those people.
I ain't sure my food.
No. So I recommend 3 weeks, at least have 3 weeks. And that's really not that hard to do if you think about it. It's really not. So we're going to go over some really easy ways to get to that 3 weeks. But, you know, at least have 3 days. That's the absolute minimum. At least have 3 days.
I can't believe 45% of Americans aren't even that.
Yeah.
Don't even have that.
I mean, in your fridge, in your freezer, in your pantry, you don't have 3 days worth of food. What does it look like?
I'm sorry, I should say 55% don't.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So what a good way to look at your food storage is going in phases. And so there's like three phases to this. Phase one is your short-term food storage. That's like your 3 weeks, and that's not 3 days. 3 weeks is short-term, right? So this is where everybody should start, I think. And this is a really easy and good way to do this because you can do this with the food you eat all the time right now. You're not buying your freeze-dried stuff. You're not buying extra, like, food bars and tack bar kind of stuff. This is just the food you actually eat all the time, right? So what the easiest way to do this is calculate how much you guys you eat in a week, your family or you yourself, depending on who's living with you, right? Times it by three, and that's it. Anybody can do that.
Wait, what? Right?
Yeah, no, it's really hard.
Super confusing.
Write it down, though. Write it down.
Three weeks times by three.
Yeah.
This is super weird.
So the easiest way to do it, like over a few months, basically just buy double of your staple foods. So if you guys eat a lot of chicken, just buy double for like a month. You know, just go buy double of chicken and then go buy double of your bread. Go buy a double of
raspberry filled donuts,
fruit snacks and, you know, your vegetables, your all that kind of stuff, your canned goods that you eat. Just buy double for a few months and then you've got
to tell my wife that.
Huh?
I'm going to tell my wife that.
Are you?
Buy double. So those Lay's potato chips, double.
Buy double, yeah.
Jerky, double.
Yeah. And so the thing about this is you have to kind of watch what you're doing because you have to inventory it and you have to rotate your stock.
That.
You did, I
sure
know.
Sure did. Started following my own preaching.
Your advice. So this is basically is first in, first out. So, you know, the oldest stuff you eat first and then you rotate the new stuff to the back of the pantry. You know, just keep rotating it and then you've always got it there. You've got that 3 weeks. You know, if you got bread, you know, freeze some bread. It's not hard to do. Put it in your freezer, you know, and then rotate out the oldest
stuff. Be free.
Yeah.
Those shelves are cool too. The little rotating, you know, the ones that roll.
For your canned goods and
stuff. Yeah, those are smart to keep it. Your kids will screw with them like love to play with them, and then they get them all mixed up your dates. But
yeah.
But those are nice, you know, because it'll just pull the old to the front first. And you've got
exactly,
your new stuff.
You're just going
to
use whatever is there, you
so
know,
those are nice.
At the front, because you know that's the oldest stuff, and rotate it through. This is, everybody should do this. This is really easy. It really doesn't cost you that much money if you do
grocery
it over.
Grocery stores do it. They put the old on the front.
Yeah. So if you just take this over a few months, don't buy everything the first time you go to the store. That's going to be ridiculously expensive. Yeah.
Speaking of, we ate a whole thing of salsa that I got from the grocery store here locally.
Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off.
Oh, you're fine.
But I was like, it kind of tastes weird, but we ate it all. Uh-huh. And then right when we got done with it, we looked at it. It was expired 2015.
Oh,
we just bought
it
from Davis.
Really?
I was like, what the?
Oh, don't say their names.
From Dennis.
Dennis. From the Dennis food town.
But yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Check your expiration dates when you're buying stuff. It's a good idea.
Yeah. No, that's, yeah.
So that's everybody should be doing this. It's really easy. Moving on. Phase two. Yeah. This is where you start getting into your freeze-dried stuff, your long-term 25-year shelf life food. Everybody should start getting some of this too, because we don't know how long the coming apocalypse is going to last. It could be 2 days, it could be 2 weeks, it could be 2 months, it could be 2 years, right?
Yeah.
So you need to get some freeze-dried stuff, and the reason these are so nice is because you can buy them and forget about them for 25 years. You know, you don't have to keep buying a whole bunch of stuff.
That's so crazy. That's a long time.
It's a really long time.
I probably won't even be alive in 25 years.
No, absolutely. I guarantee you're not alive in 25 years.
The way I'm going with my weight.
I know. The amount of calories you're packing in a day.
I actually haven't changed my weight since high school. So.
Really? Yeah. So
yeah, dick.
there's a lot of options. I have changed. My weight has changed. There's a lot of options available for these. I mean, there's seriously companies popping up constantly making these types of foods, Augustin, Thrive, all that kind of stuff, right? And speaking of Thrive, it is Thrive, right? We did decide it was Thrive that does this. Thrive actually has a subscription service for their freeze-dried foods.
Yeah,
so
it's pretty cool.
You pay a monthly fee.
They're expensive, but their foods taste really...
Yeah, it's good food.
They're really, really good.
That's good food. So they, you pay a monthly fee. It comes to your house every month. And you start building up that stockpile.
Yeah.
So that's a really good way to go. Also, survival boxes.
Yeah,
they have their food box, and it comes with all that stuff. It's either the 25-year shelf life stuff, or it's like the 5-year food bars.
So awesome.
I know. Or water, even.
They got little pouches.
Emergency water pouches. So I highly suggest looking at survival boxes, because they got really good stuff.
Smart fellas over there.
Yeah. So a few things to look at when you're looking at these freeze-dried foods, right? Check the pack for serving sizes and calorie count. So a lot of times they're going to say, 8,000 servings, but their servings are like 25 calories. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just make sure you actually see what's on there. Figure out how to cook each meal. How much water is it going to take? You know, can you cook it right in the pouches? Like with a lot of the Mountain House type stuff, you can cook it right in the pouch. Just make sure you know how that, you know, taste it before you buy it. Seriously, I mean, before you buy a bunch of it, make sure it tastes good, because I've done
like this. The Mountain House, try the egg one.
Yeah, definitely try the egg and sausage one.
See if you really ever want to buy it ever again, if it should be requested to be discontinued.
Oh, it's the foulest tasting garbage I've ever eaten in my life. I'll just die. I don't even care. if you're gonna, you know, it's the apocalypse and all you got is those. I'm like, well, I've had a good life. It's over. I'm not eating that crap.
Don't use my bullets.
Yeah, I won't. So buy a variety of foods. Make sure you're not buying like 8,000 packs of just potato flakes.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get
old. I've got a ton of beans, and I'm probably going to regret it.
And beans are good.
They are
great to have.
They store forever, but.
Yeah, but you beans every meal is going to be tough. It's going to be really tough.
And what is this, South America?
What is this?
We're North America.
We're North America. So that's your freeze-dried type stuff. So then the phase three for me is seeds and also multivitamins, because, you know, you're not going to get all the nutrients you need to get.
No way.
There's just no way, especially if all you're eating is freeze-dried stuff. There's just no way. So it's not a bad idea to have a bunch of multivitamins on hand. You know, they only keep for probably 2 to 3 years, but you can rotate those out too. Just have them on an inventory. You can pop a men's Centrum, you know,
or
once a day,
Centrum,
or a
woman's
Centrum,
you prefer,
whatever you need, and it's going to kind of just supplement what you're doing. You know, it's going to help keep you healthier, stronger. It's good stuff.
Bigger, better.
Thank you for that.
Biggest douche in the world.
Who's that?
Kanye.
Yeah, you're probably going to have to pay him now that you
he
sang that
die.
Song on the podcast. Just so you know. So, seeds. This is your next option, and this is your long-term survival. You see how I even wrote it that way?
Yeah, I did see that.
Long-term.
Like, that's pretty creative.
So seeds are a fantastic way to survive long-term.
Grow
stuff. If you want to grow stuff, you're going to have seeds. Make sure you get your heirloom seeds. They're all non-GMO. They have a long line of being very good seeds, and they taste fantastic.
Just, you know, the seeds?
Yeah. You can actually just eat them if you want. There's
really
nothing wrong with that.
You're not going to go very far. But.
So you know, the USDA says if you store the seeds at optimum conditions, they're going to last for hundreds or thousands of
years.
That's
freaking nuts.
Yeah. So there's a good chance that they're going to be good when you need them. So
wonder if my seed would last for 1,000.
Yeah. So tips for storing your seeds: cool and dry is the best, just like pretty much everything else we've talked about. You know, you can actually freeze them to keep them for longer, but if you're in an SHTF situation, you're probably not going to have a freezer. So I, you know, I wouldn't worry about that too much. You can refrigerate them, put them in a Lipzok bag.
Those ones you compress with your lips.
Yeah. Ziploc bag, and then put them on a brown bag to reduce the light, because light is your enemy.
Bad.
Yeah. You can vacuum seal them.
Screw light.
You can vacuum seal it, and you can just put them in a paper envelope in a waterproof container. Those are good. Also, the survival boxes send you seeds out with every one of their boxes, too, their food boxes.
That's right.
So I think it's a good idea to get some survival boxes.
Box, I'm telling you.
Yeah. So, Cam, I want to take a break really quick.
Yeah, you do.
I want to tell you about some new friends, and you want to tell them about it. Do you want to tell them about it?
No, go ahead.
You want me to? Okay.
Well, I can talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You talk about them.
So, some new friends of ours from Iron Forest Knives, Knife and Tool. They have a new knife coming out, and it's a Kickstarter, and it is one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
It really is. It's pretty wicked looking.
Yeah, it's called the Jack. So the Jack was designed to be the most versatile and durable survival tool possible. And I think they've seriously come close to this, because there's so many cool features with this thing. So its versatility comes from the ability to attach it to a makeshift handle in different ways. It functions as a knife, a hatchet, a machete, a handsaw, and a pole saw. And it's just badass looking.
It really is.
It seriously is badass looking.
If you've ever wanted to just walk around with a lawnmower blade.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like it could do some damage.
Yeah, it absolutely could. So,
and I liked that they didn't really push it as, like, you know, the zombie killer. You know,
exactly.
It's like totally a survival tool.
It's functional. It's super functional.
Everything about it.
So it has a quick detached saw that mounts to the sheath. It works with readily available Sawzall type blades, and it holds up to 3 12-inch blades. That's really, really cool. It only weighs a pound and a half. So this is available on Kickstarter until March 31st. So if you want to get this, you've got to go quick to Kickstarter and go back this, because, I mean, once you see it, you're going to want to back it. It's absolutely
really, trust
fantastic.
Us. You need to check it out.
Yeah. So they're actually also giving away a Jack with the saw. All you have to do is share the giveaway post with hashtag Jack, G-A-W, which is for giveaway, and register before March 31st. So go to ironforestknives.com or check out Iron Forest Knives on Instagram or Facebook, and you can go check them out on Kickstarter. That's where you really should go. This is seriously a very, very cool Kickstarter. We really think you should all go check out.
Amen.
Amen.
Really, it's a must.
Yeah,
I want it.
Yeah,
really, really.
I'm really hoping that we can get one of these, because we're gonna make some cool videos with it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I will cut the hell out of my hand.
You absolutely will.
Just to show you.
So if you go to check them out on Instagram, they got so many cool pictures.
They do. They have a little video. That's what I watch.
Yeah. Oh, you watch the video.
It shows you all of the uses. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Geniuses.
Yep. So that's the Jack from Iron Forest Knives. So very cool.
Yeah.
Move on, Cameron.
All right. So your food you've been talking about, I've got some alternative ways to store your food.
Oh, I'm excited about this.
Yeah, you should be. It's really exciting. Canning, number one exciting.
Yeah, it's not called canting. It's called canning.
So canning, there's a lot to learn there.
Yeah, there's a
ton. And it's a great way to store things you like, you know, and things you grow and things you want to know. No, but it really
that was
is
glorious, man.
But no, they canning's been done for hundreds and thousands of years.
Whoa.
No, really. they actually had, I thought this was kind of a cool thing. Maybe you, I think we've talked about it before on the podcast, even.
Have we?
Napoleon, in the like Napoleon Bonaparte, they had a can.
I thought it was like Napoleon.
No, not like Napoleon Dynamite. They had like a can stored back that had been, I think it was meat, like tuna or something. They fed it to a cat, and it was like in the 1800s, and it didn't get sick. Like, that's how well a can.
Oh, like recently they did this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Like a, yeah.
That's fantastic.
From way back then. Pretty cool.
They so fed canning, it to a cat.
Yeah.
Give it to the damn cat over there. See if she dies.
Yeah. Didn't get sick though. But yeah, canning, a lot of options there, a lot of ways to store food. I mean, and you can can whatever the freak you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty cool. The other, another way is curing. So meat, has been, you know, ways to prevent it from spoiling has been done for years and years. There's a lot that goes into curing and smoking. So curing, essentially trying to preserve the flavor and nutrition without freezing. So you don't need power. You don't need a freezer.
Yeah, that's the good stuff about that.
Basically, yeah, you're just using different mixtures of salt or just salt itself to kind of cure. So jerky is basically a way of curing.
Yeah.
Smoking. So smoking creates an acidic coat on the meat. Dehydrates the meat so that it doesn't spoil as fast, and it prevents bacterial growth, which is amazing.
That's really good.
Smoked meat tastes mother effing delicious.
Oh yeah, it does.
So yeah, I mean, excellent flavor preservation. And then you can do, so there's hot smoking where you actually, the meat's done and cooked and it's, you know, it's flavored.
Yeah.
And then it lasts a little longer. You can, you know, keep it in the refrigerator and stuff. Then there's cold smoking, which just basically seals the meat. You've got really good flavor. And then that's what, you know, when you see them like hanging the meats back in the day, that's, you know, your cold smoking. Other ways of preserving your food, pickling. I freaking would pickle everything.
Really?
I love, yeah. Like cauliflower pickled, amazing.
Really?
Pickled green beans, amazing.
I've never had any of them. I'm not
pickled pickles, amazing.
Pickle. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm a big fan of pickling. You know, sauerkraut, things like that.
Sure.
Pickling can, you know, makes everything taste great, in my opinion.
Okay.
And then fermenting, you know, you can you can cook, you know, you can ferment some barley pop down in your basement.
Good.
But, you know, different dairy products can be fermented. Cheese is basically, you know, the same.
Mm-hmm.
If you are really good at it and ferment stuff, you know, there's another way of keeping food for a long time.
Good, good.
So, yeah, those are some alternative methods to keeping some good foods.
Sure. Okay.
That's it. Oh, no, no. Am I going next?
Yeah,
oh, I've got two back to back. Sorry. All right. So this is how to store your food. Listen up.
Listen up. Shut up and listen.
So this is a big mistake that a lot of people do. And I have to admit, I do this too.
Absolutely.
So do not leave your food in bags. So I've got quite a few bags of sugar.
Oh.
I don't have them in anything. So they're susceptible to humidity.
Yeah.
Rodents, you know, insects, and, you know, the bags can break. They just, it's not a good idea. You know, you get rice in bags, you get beans in bags, and bean bags.
Get the bean bags.
But you need to take all these and put them into a safe, a food safe container, you know, plastic, whatever it is, but do not leave them in bags. Tons of food gets wasted that way. So a little tipsy. A little tipsy for you all.
A little pro tip for y'all.
Sugar, nuts, and dried fruits. You know, you definitely need to put those in containers. Sugar, nuts, and fruit.
Oh, dang.
So, ways to store. You hear me swallow? That was delicious.
Yeah, I've been hearing
delicious
it. The whole episode, I've been hearing it.
I got a little bit of a runny nose, and I've been eating it. Trying to preserve my snot.
Oh, gosh. Move on.
So number 10 cans are good things to use to store food in. Then you got your peat bottles. And then you've got foil pouches. You can actually buy those little, you can buy those all over. They're not for EMP protection.
Like the Mylar actually, pouches?
Yeah.
Yep.
They're actually really good to store food in to protect from, you know, elements and rodents and all that crap. A lot of people, too, the one thing is, you know, covering your bags in garbage bags and stuff to kind of keep moisture away, you know, if you're in a flood area. Garbage bags are a lot of the times coated with crap that can then leach into your food, too. Pesticides and different chemicals. So do not use garbage bags to cover and protect your foods.
Ah, good idea.
So storage conditions. So cupboards, you know, down in your basement, I would love to have like cupboards and everything like that. For your dry goods, you know, just kind of open cupboards are totally fine for that. You know, crackers, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But do avoid putting them near water pipes or stoves or heating vents because they'll just expire a lot faster.
Sure.
You want to store just like water. You want to store it in a cool area. That's dark, you know, the least amount of sunlight possible. And then you know, if you really want to store some food, you can be extreme and bust up your cement, and then you got a root cellar.
Yes, you can.
That'd be nice to have one of those.
It absolutely would. You
could bury bones down in there.
You could.
The temperature, so for food, it's a little bit cooler. You want the max heat to be 75 degrees. You don't want any higher than that because it'll really accelerate.
Spoil.
Yep. Down to 24 degrees. You know, we've talked about too, you need to really keep track inventory and rotating your foods. Cause no matter where you store them, they're going to slowly.
Yeah.
Store. Moisture, you want to keep, it off the floor, you know, even though you might not get floods and things like that, you still are going to get moisture that seeps up through the cement.
Yeah.
So keep it off the floor. Cooking oils, those things can turn rancid pretty easily just being, you know, near a window
exposed to sunlight.
Yeah. So oxygen absorbers, I have some of those and haven't used any of them, but they are more effective than vacuum seal. Cause it, you know, does what it says. It absorbs all the oxygen and leaves just nitrogen. So it's actually a lot better than vacuum seal. If you can do both, you know, that's awesome. But do definitely use those for when you're storing beans in, like, you know, a big 5 gallon bucket and things like that. Throw one of those in there. The longer you can keep everything from oxidizing, the better. I want to talk about freezing too, because, you know, a lot of us have those big freezers full of meat. So a quick thing on freezing, you know, if the power goes out, then you want to hit that food first. You know,
right?
Really, don't waste it. Just go ahead. We're gonna eat a bunch of meat.
Yep.
You need
It's gonna be awesome.
You got to use up all your fridge. That was the thing I was gonna add to
that meat potty.
Shutting off your water. It's like you got to remember. That's why you got to get that plan set up. Like,
yeah.
Boom. Take care of the stuff that you cannot save.
Mm-hmm.
That's gonna be expired quick. You need to just use all your fridge. You
you're gonna have
that.
You're gonna have a power out party.
Yeah.
Barbecue, man. Yeah. Just eat it.
Yeah.
It'll be awesome.
Did you see that? What's that dumb show about Last Man Alive or whatever, the series with the guy off from?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Last Man on Earth or something.
Yeah, I think they found like a bunch of meat and they just cooked like this massive thing.
Yeah,
like, that's what I would do. So proper storing of dairy products and meats and fruits and things in the freezer. You want it to be 0 degrees or below. So I highly suggest getting, which I don't have either, which I'm going to get, is a freezer thermometer. You want to keep proper temperatures in there. Don't plan to store, don't plan to store your food and then use it just before the maximum freeze time. I mean, you want to be recycling that more often.
Rotating that stuff.
Everything gets freezer burned.
Yeah.
Like, I do not pay attention to what I'm like, piss, I just bought these
something's
pork
in
chops.
There for like, yeah, forever.
Yeah. And make sure you're using, you know, moisture-proof freezer wraps, you know, those really durable freezer bags. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, this is simple stuff, but, you know, that food you still want available when, you know, shit hits the fan.
Yep.
You cussed. So when the power, I know. So when power goes out, put the explicit. Two explicits.
I know. Double explicit.
When power goes out, the frozen items will actually last in a freezer. If it's packed completely full, you know, this the whole nother subject, but if you don't have a freezer completely full of food, you're supposed to put like water bottles and things in there because it actually is more power efficient.
Oh yeah. And, yeah. Because everything in there is cold and keeping it colder.
And the more packed it is, the longer it's going to last. So when the power goes out, if you have a freezer completely packed full, it's pretty much good for 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a thermometer in there, that can help you monitor. If things stay below 40 degrees, then you're good. But above 40 degrees, things only last about 2 hours. So it's just good. You know, I have a lot of, I mean, meat goes a long way, a lot of protein and things like that. And it's expensive. So you don't want to just screw, you know, that's done. Sorry.
Yeah.
You want to make sure, you know, this needs to be eaten within 48 hours and the temperature, you've got to watch that. So definitely get a thermometer for your freezer.
Sure. That's a good idea.
So yeah, There you go.
Very good. I want to go over a couple of quick tips just really fast. Make sure in your food prep somewhere you have spices and you have condiments and things like that, because you're going to be making a lot of rice and beans and crap like that, and it might not taste that awesome, especially if you have young kids or things like that. So make sure you prep those things. That's some people overlook that, and they're going to really, you know, they're going to regret it because seriously, if your food's going to taste like crap, I mean, at least you can put some salt and some seasoned salt on it or something in it, you know,
your
that helps.
Morale, yeah, it's gone.
And then quickly, my top five foods to prep foods. So really quickly, honey, that's my number one. You know, a lot of people, you would think, well, why the crap are you gonna, you know, it lasts forever. It like never goes bad. There's so many good things about it. It's antibacterial. It's a cough suppressant. It can sweeten things. It's another one of those things you can put it on some food and it's going to taste a lot better. You know, it helps regulate blood pressure, promotes healing of wounds, and it's a big energy booster. So I think everybody should have like a bucket of honey. You know, go buy the 5 gallon buckets of
it. It's expensive, but it's really totally expensive. Worth it.
Absolutely.
You've got like, it'll harden products in one.
You know, it might harden up after a while, but you can just heat it up and it'll be fine again. Yep. Salt, like I said, it keeps forever. It's good for seasoning. It's good for curing, and it's super cheap. Rice stores for a long time. Tons of carbs. It's cheap. Make sure you get the white rice because it will last a lot longer than the brown rice. A lot longer. Beans, cheap. Protein, and they last for a really long time. Last one is peanut butter. Tons of protein. It's, you know, so if you don't have meat, at least you can get protein from your peanut butter. Lots of vitamins and minerals you don't get a lot of other places. If you store it right, you can store them for about 5 years, you know, a couple of spoonfuls a day, and it can keep you going if you need to.
Excellent top five.
Okay.
I would concur.
Move on.
Okay. So just a quick moment here.
Mm-hmm.
So Elite Survivor, we want to thank them, and they are your premier veteran-owned and operated source for survival, prepper, bushcraft, EDC, and outdoor gear. Get yourself prepared and save 15% off your first order with code CASUALPREPPERS.
And we love Elite Survivor.
Yeah, they have everything.
I use some of their gear every single day.
Yeah, every day. I do too.
Mm-hmm. Every single day. Go to EliteSurvivor.com and use our code because you get 15% off. You don't get 10, you don't get 5, you get 15.
Right on.
Yeah. So you know what, guys, that's all we have for food and water, your prepper essentials. And it was kind of long, I know, and it wasn't super sexy. It's kind of boring, but it's really good info that everybody needs to have, right? Absolutely. So moving on, am I answering my own questions?
Yes, you are, but that's good. I agree.
You weren't chiming in, so I just did it myself.
Absolutely, Kobe. Thank you.
And you're a genius, Kobe, and I'm so glad I'm here with you right now. Let's talk about TacPack. TacPack sent out a box not too long ago, and you got the card.
Got it right here.
So tell me about the damn card, bro. All
right. So first product is a Bull Moose Tactical Muzzle Brake device.
Ooh, yeah.
$60. So if you want to shoot flatter, if you want to shoot better, the Bull Moose Tactical Muzzle Brake is the device you want. And you already got it. Boom. It's in there. This is actually sweet, this fire cord. This Live Fire Gear 550 fire cord, $13. So it's not only paracord. What is it, Kobe?
It's also fire tinder.
Boom. Boom. And it's really easy to find inside there. And
yeah,
you can start.
That's probably
fire.
My favorite thing from that one.
That is awesome.
I'm going to use that in my bug out bag, unless you get it. I don't know who's getting it.
No, you can get it. I got a ton of paracord. Not fire starting paracord, but I do.
That's
have
true. That's true.
And then the other product, $55 for North Shore Customs Equalizer, which is a little bottle opener.
Yep.
As well as
a nuck.
Yeah, type a little thing. Nuck. So you can just bash faces in.
Yes, sure.
It's pretty cool. Drink a beer, bash faces in. The Tricorn Paracord Spool Tool, $23. Sounds pretty dumb, but it's pretty awesome.
If you're using paracord at all, it's really awesome.
It really is.
Yeah.
It has like little grooves in it to where you can kind of cut your paracord to length. And then it actually has a little storage spot for your Bic lighter.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just burn your cord to seal it when you've cut it.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Pretty dang cool.
It's cool
pretty
stuff.
Smart. Then you've got your priceless TacPack patch. They have some sweet ones to, you know, little Velcro ones interchangeable on all your hats. Always a wonderful thing to have.
Always.
And so there you have it. TacPack. Yeah.
Make sure to go get your own tack pack. Use our code CASUALPREPPERS to get 10% off your first order of tack pack.
Yeah, yeah. If you guys didn't hear the prices, it's $60, $13, $55, and $23 for those, and you're getting it for $45.
You're a jackass if you don't order it.
Seriously.
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 So the next review we have, I'm very, very, very excited about. So this is the Survivor Town Sling. What exactly?
Hear that?
That's what it sounds like.
Really nice zipper.
Yeah, it's the...
That wasn't my zipper. That was the bag zipper.
Yeah, that wasn't him taking his pants off. Thank the Lord. Yeah, so...
Yeah, whatever.
The Survivor Town Tactical Sling Bag, and it is... I've been using it the past week for my new EDC bag, and I have been super impressed with it.
Yeah.
So you can get these at SurvivorTown.com. This one, it ranges anywhere from $14.95 to $17.95. So it's really, really inexpensive. That's not cheap. It's inexpensive.
Our most recent YouTube video... No, Doomsday was the recent... We had one about kind of summarizing some of the products, and I actually showed it on there.
Did we? Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you tried
it
on.
So you can kind of see it. It's pretty sexy.
Yeah, so it's honestly, it's perfect for everyday carry. So this thing has, on the very back of it, it has a concealed carry pouch, which I really like.
That is cool. I didn't see that.
So you can sneak your pistol right in the back of it, and no one is the wiser. Really high-quality zippers. Stop making so much freaking noise, man.
I'm throwing it around. Listen.
Good Lord.
Little effort.
The shoulder strap is padded. It's got molly webbing like all over the damn thing. Like it's everywhere. It's got the Velcro spot for your patch. And like I said, the concealed carry pouch in the back. I've been really, really impressed with it. It seems like it's high quality. And it's just perfect for a buck. For an EDC bag. I just keep it right there in my Jeep. And I'm impressed.
I am too.
I'm really impressed.
That's a super duper good price.
We're going to use it some more. They also sent out. They have some really cool checklists that you can get from their site. They sent out a bug out bag checklist, a 72-hour kit one. It's really nice to have something like this because sometimes you forget stuff. So go check that out at SurvivorTown.com.
Survival Town.
Yes, sir.
They're going to use that on their.
They
website.
Most likely will. Mm-hmm.
All right, the other product, which is pretty freaking sweet. Let me make a little noise with
Stand by for one more review, guys.
Oh, it's the Click Belt.
Sounds like. Yeah. Click Belt. K-L-I-K belt.
Probably the most durable belt I have ever witnessed.
I can honestly say I've never seen a belt that's going to be this durable. It will never break.
You could pull a 747 with this thing.
Honestly, you can pull a car. They actually have videos of them towing
really?
Cars
oh,
right. with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it does. It feels like a towing strap.
Yeah. It's really like high quality military grade nylon webbing, 1.5 inches. Yeah, and the buckle's kind of fun to play with.
Oh, it
honestly.
Is.
Yeah. So the buckle is a 7075 aluminum alloy Cobra aluminum. I was gonna go
Cobra aluminum.
Yeah, Cobra aluminum. So this is the kind
Why
of
is
stuff
it classified?
They use for they use it for airplanes. You know, they use it for lots of other things. Among airplanes,
Coke
fighter
cans.
Jets, space travel, lots of cool
no,
things.
No, it is. It's super unique. I mean, if you want to look like a freaking prepper, boom.
Yeah, it's super tactical
such a
looking.
Look, it's so cool.
They say that it's really, really good for concealed carry because the belt is so much more
like
heavy
it doesn't
duty.
Flex.
Yeah,
it doesn't bow down.
Yeah, you're not gonna.
Yeah, I can see that.
You're not gonna flex your belt. So, it's if you're doing concealed
Why
carry,
don't you flex your belt for me?
See me flex my belt, boy. So you can go see them at clickbelts.com, and that's K-L-I-K.
You can buy them.
You can buy them, yes. So they're around $58 or so. They have a bunch of different types, so there's some variance in the prices. But I suggest you go take a look at them. This is, we've done some belts here in the past, but this one is by far the most durable one I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
You will not, and they're not bad looking either. They're really kind of cool.
No, they're
looking.
Different, but
yeah, they're
like
cool looking
cool
actually.
Way.
Yeah, so go check them out. KLIK belts. We might get them on a video here soon, so you can kind of take a look at them a little more closely, or just go to clickbelts.com and check those out. So yeah. It's really, really good. So
we'll do a video with me having it on with nothing else, just my Click Belt.
We're not gonna put you guys through that. Don't worry about it. So anyways, that's our reviews for today. Wasn't that fun?
It's time for the quick and dirty medical tip.
No. All right, so this week.
Bust through this quickly, Cameron.
God, don't be a dick about it. Well, let me just forget the stuff that you prepared. I want you to just be done with it.
God, yeah.
Dickhead. Okay, so just real quick, ocular injuries. That's the eyeball. That's eyeball.
Ocular.
So you're going to run into issues where you have issues with your eyes. So just real quick, I just want to tell you, boom, what to do for them and how to treat them.
Good.
So foreign body in your eyeball. What happens? Scratches the cornea. Hurts like hell.
Oh, it's horrible.
You get lots of, you know, drainage. You get, your eye just is running. It's sensitive.
You cry. You cry.
It's freaking horrible.
You cry.
But it's not the end of the world, and you don't need to see a doctor for it.
It could be the end of the world.
Yeah, there can be really bad ones. So most abrasions, though, you just, if it's a really big one, you just patch it for 24 hours. Do not do it longer than that.
Why not?
Because it will retard
the
healing process.
Really? So you got to get some air into it and whatnot.
It actually, your eyes heal extremely fast. So ways to get the foreign bodies out of there, you can just use a Q-tip. You can soak it in sterile water and just kind of rub it across the cornea and get that out of there. Now, if you have some embedded, first of all, these medical tips are for extreme scenarios.
Yes.
Do not do this at home. I mean, if you have an eye injury, you need to go to the doctor.
Go to the doctor.
But if you've read this beforhand and the nuke went off.
If it's a zombie apocalypse, an EMP, financial collapse.
Right.
Everything we read about in our book.
So if you have an embedded piece of...
I plugged that pretty nicely.
Yeah, nice job. A foreign body in your eye. What we do typically is use the... use a needle, like an injection needle.
Mm-hmm.
Just use the beveled side and scrape along the cornea to remove the embedded piece. Yeah, it sounds intense. You could really do some damage if you're not super careful, but you just want to scrape that out of the cornea or it won't heal. So,
good gracious me.
Chemical, you get chemical spills in your eyeball. You need to flush for 30 minutes. The burns can be really severe. So,
yeah.
I mean, seek medical attention. But if you don't, flush the bejeezers out of them. Blepharitis is...
What's that now?
Blepharitis. Mm. So your eyelid, just the edge of your eyelid where you put, where Kobe typically puts like eyeliner.
Yeah.
That's where blepharitis is.
I only do that on the weekends.
So it's not neat. You don't need bacteria antibiotics for most of these. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Just say it then, damn it.
I just did.
Okay.
So you want to just scrub the lid of your eyes with a diluted baby shampoo, just a really soft shampoo, just to clear off all that crusty, nasty crap. And you can use a Q-tip again. Product placement. I don't get anything out of this.
You don't.
But
do you have to use a Q-tip brand?
You do not. Just any cotton tipped.
Okay.
Applicator.
Sure.
So pink eye. Pink eye is what everybody freaks out for, and they come in all the time for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously, 80% of the time, it's viral.
Wow.
Like, bacterial pink eye. So pink eye can be bacterial, viral, or allergic. And rarely, honestly, is it bacterial. But we usually give antibiotic drops just to get people. Oh, thank you.
You're so awesome for helping me with my pink eye.
You saved my kid's life. But so viral, it's usually, you get a lot of discharge. You get the goopiness. Sometimes your eyelashes are kind of matted together and they hurt like a mother. This is viral. You just treat with rinses, twice a day for 10 to 14 days. Just saline.
It's just going to go away on its own.
Mm-hmm. So bacterial, it's pretty obvious. Super red, super swollen. You've got a lot of injections. So your eye's all bloodshot. You have copious amounts of thick purulent, pussy, really nasty discharge. That's bacterial, and that really should get an antibiotic.
Sure.
And then the last thing was styes. You get the little pus pockets. Those things freaking hurt. They do not typically need antibiotics. Just warm compresses. Try and get it to drain. If it gets huge and massive, you need to poke it and get it out of there.
Ugh.
But most of the time, you just rinse the bejeezers out of your eyeballs.
Wow.
The end.
Write this down, kids.
I hope that was fast enough.
That was really good. Like, I think the speed was right on. Okay, really.
Right on.
Right on. Right on. So that's all we have for you guys today. I know that was a little long today and a little bit boring, but I think it's really good information. And
blame Kobe.
We're going to come back with something freaking awesome next time.
I'm excited about the next one.
Yeah.
I am.
I'm excited, too. Are we going to give them a preview or not? No. Yes. No.
Ooh,
Yeah.
Let's just do it.
Okay, go ahead.
We're going to talk about bartering.
Bartering. Well, now we have to do it.
Something that I just don't know that much about.
No, you're not a
sailor. But I know enough about.
You do? Okay. Okay, so we're going to talk about bartering next week, and now we have to do it.
We're going
to. Next podcast.
No, it's planned.
Okay, good.
I think it's going to be a good one.
Good, good. So guys, come see us at casualpreppers.com. Please look for the book. Go pre-order that mother. You will be the coolest kid on the block, and you will survive the apocalypse.
Yeah.
What else?
No, that's it.
That's it. There's nothing else.
They needed to be done. They're done with us.
I'm sorry, guys.
I'm done with us.
I'm so done with us, too. We're going to see you next time, and